the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makes the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes. In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear friends, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. Today, in this episode, we're going to speak about Imam al-Hussein, the Ark of Salvation. Accept our condolences on the month of Muharram. Inshallah, all of your deeds and gatherings for Imam Hussein has been accepted by Allah the Almighty.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammad wa al Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammad wa al Muhammad.
We open the calendar. Today, Sunday, is the 13th of the month of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 31st of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 22nd of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start with a chapter of the Holy Quran, chapter Nuh. Listen to verses 1 to 3.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi an anzir qawmaka min qabli an ya'tiyahum azaabun aleem.
Indeed, we sent Noah to his people, saying, warn your people before there comes to them a painful punishment.
قال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين.
He said, O my people, indeed I am to you a clear warner.
أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون.
Saying, worship Allah, fear him and obey me.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed chapter in question treats of Noah's prophetic call, thereby providing those who treat the path of God Almighty with points of interest concerning calling people unto the truth, particularly while confronting obdurate peoples. According to the second blessed verse, Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, was the first prophet upon whom divine scriptures had been revealed, and his prophetic call addressed the world. Upon receiving divine command, he went to his people and said that he was a plain warner to them. Why is Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, the guiding light and the salvation ship? Salvation is related to success in the hereafter. Without salvation in the hereafter, the life of this world is in loss. If somebody fails to achieve salvation in the hereafter, all his efforts in this world have gone in vain, and loss is the sum total of such a person's life. But the salvation cannot be achieved until we have been properly guided and have led our lives in harmony with the virtuous guidance. The guidance and salvation are connected. A misguided person cannot reach salvation, and the one who has reached salvation must have rightly guided. The glorious personality of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, provides the solution to the both problems. He is a lamp of guidance in this world's life and the ark of salvation in the hereafter. The lamp shows the path to others, and without the lamp, knowing and leading one's life on the right path is almost impossible. The ark of salvation saves from falling in the abyss of hell. Those who have embarked this ark will definitely be saved.
Sayyid Muhammad Ribli.
The Ark of Nuh was not an ordinary ship. It was something built under the supervision, direct supervision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very much like the Kaaba itself. Ibrahim and Ismail were the one who reconstructed it under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point was whoever gets on it will be rescued and saved. Anybody doesn't get on it will perish, including the son of Nuh. And so relationships don't count. Now, what was the name of this son of Nuh? We have one of the questions there. Canaan. Another important point is that when this ark started, there was no navigator, engineer, or anything like that. You know, Nuh just said, Bismillahi marsaha wa majraha wa mursaha. You know, the direction was set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The navigation system was set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, he was just there, you know, managing the people, not actually, you know, being the captain of the ship. And this is a very important point, that if it is a safina which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether in the form of the safina of Nuh or the safina of Muhammad in form of Ali Muhammad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who guides them and he takes them to the ultimate destination. Salawat upon Iqbal.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. One of the effects of the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, is freedom. After so many years, one of the quotes of Imam Hussein is still remembered. If you do not believe in religion, at least be free in your world. This saying invites the whole world to practice freedom. The message of Imam al-Hussein continues, and his followers reject submission to oppression. Freedom from enslavement by tyrants or anyone except Allah is one of the points of Imam al-Hussein's revolution that can be used to realize the true values of Islam in this day and time. Hence, those who are in love with Imam al-Hussein, no matter what religion they have, will try to free themselves from misfortune and obedience to anyone except Allah by following Hussein's path.
Assalamu alaykum, ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك. السلام على الحسين. وعلى علي بن الحسين. وعلى أولاد الحسين. وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.
Karbala and its great dome. The rays of the morning sun gild the great dome that crowns the building containing the tomb of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. Karbala actually stands on one of the great caravan routes of desert. Today, the river city of Kufa, once a Khilafat capital, is a mere village, and the city of Najaf is famous for the tomb of Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him. Karbala, this outpost of the desert, is a mart and a meeting ground as well as a sacred place. It's the port of the desert, beautifully kept, is the road to the mausoleum to which call through the year come pilgrims from all parts of the world. Beautiful color tiles decorate the building. Inside, in the ceiling and upper walls, there is a great deal of glass mosaic. The tomb itself is in a sort of inner grille, and below the ground is a sort of cave, where is shown the actual place where the martyr fell.
The izzah, the honor a person can get is by what? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. The izzah, the honor is what? Is Allah's. Only Allah. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give it to, like in the surah Munafiqeen, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِلْرُسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ. The Izzah belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He gave it to the Rasulah, to the Prophet, and to who? To the believers. And that's why you see, you know, for a period of time maybe, someone like Mutawakkil Abbasi can come and has the rule to cut the hands and the heads of the Zuwar of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, to destroy the shrine of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. But did he stop the rule of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi? Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is the true empire that the sun never sets on. Empires come and go, but Abi Abdullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi stays. So if you want to go in that direction to be honorable, go with the people who honored Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be that person who honored Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Empty your heart, but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love.
Allahumma ij'al mahya ya mahya mahya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati wa mamati مماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all from today's special from IRIB English Radio. Believe you in protection of Allah, the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum.
Hussein, as-salam. food for thought.
Salam, and let us listen to a wonderful piece of advice from Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, the fourth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Seek God's forgiveness and repent to him, for he accepts the repentance, pardons the evil doings, and knows well whatever you do.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us during this month of Muharram and to enable us to be of those who are the true helpers of the Imam Ajjalallahu ta'ala Farajul Sharif because of our efforts that we made for the sake of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. For we know that the Imam, that is Imam Al-Asr, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajuhu sharif, is the avenger of the blood of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So one of the things that is important is that that particular place where Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is buried, now we may look at it as a desert. We may see it as a place that is on the outskirts and there is nothing really important about that particular place. But because of that particular person that he's buried in that place, the entire structure, the existential structure of that particular place took a new form. And we can see this from this tradition of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who is speaking to one of his companions. Or rather, the companion said, I heard Imam alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, say this. The Imam said, the location of the grave of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam has been a garden from the gardens of paradise since the day that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam was buried in it. So we see here that that particular person, that particular essence that was buried in that particular soil, that had nothing special about it. Same with many of the other places throughout the Muslim world. It is because of that particular person who either went there or was buried there that this place got significance. So the place where Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is buried is a garden from the gardens of paradise. And I also heard, the companion says, I also heard the Imam alayhi salam say, the location of the grave of Hussein alayhi salam is an oasis from the oasis of paradise. It is a place of extreme tranquility. It is a place of extreme, ease, where a person who goes in there finds, this felicity, this ease, this comfort. We unfortunately do not see the reality of what is around us. The eyes of our heart is not open. So these traditions should give us that motivation to know that where we are. Then when we do have the ability to go for the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, we understand where we are standing and who we are facing and what we should be doing and performing the etiquettes as they should be performed. Inshallah. Until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا. نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and our honorable guest, dear brother Muhammad Reza, is here with us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, This program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. In the first part, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran. After that, we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari, and then Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we are going to listen to some other interesting Quranic parts. So stay tuned. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mahmoud Shahad Anwar. Sheikh Mahmoud Shahad Anwar, who was born in 1984, is the youngest son of the prominent master of the Noble Quran recitation, Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anwar. He managed to memorize the Noble Quran completely under the care of his father at the age of 12. He has a bachelor's degree in Islamic and Arabic sciences from Al-Azhar University in Cairo. In Quran recitation, his role model is his older brother, Sheikh Anwar Shahad Anwar, whom we talked about before. He has been invited to many Muslim and non-Muslim countries, such as Kuwait, Emirates, Qatar, Iraq, Bahrain, Pakistan, Syria, Indonesia, France, Belgium, America, South Africa, Turkey, Greece, as well as Iran. Having listened to his recitations, 7 people have been reverted to Islam, 4 from South Africa, 2 from the United Kingdom, and 1 from France. And now, dear audience, let's listen to Sheikh Mahmoud Shahad Anwar reciting Surah Ash-Shams from the very beginning to the end of verse 9, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. By the sun and its brightness, by the moon as it follows it, by the day as it shows forth its brightness, by the night as it conceals it, by the heaven and him who built it, by the earth and him who spread it, by a soul and him who perfected it in proportion. Then he showed it what is right for it and what is wrong for it. Indeed, he succeeds who purifies his own self.
dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of Sheikh Mahmoud Shahad Anwar reciting Surah Al-Shams from verse 1 to the end of verse 9. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, Sheikh Mahmoud Shahad Anwar, the youngest son of Sheikh Shahad Muhammad Anwar, he follows the style of Sheikh Shahad, his father. In an interview, he said that that's the only recitation he listens to. He only listens to the recitation of his father. He was asked, what about the other reciters? He said, no, just my father. And he is a very good follower of the style of Sheikh Shahad Anwar. We can't say imitator. He does a good emulation of his father's recitation. Of course, he has some innovations of his own in his recitation that his father probably, for example, he recites in Maqam al-Kurd in a unique way. His father did not recite the Quran in Maqam Kurd in the way that Sheikh Mahmoud Shahad recites right now. He has all three registers. His voice has all three registers: Qarar, Jawab, and Jawab al-Jawab.
Yes.
And in this recitation, he uses all three of them. Okay, now let's talk about some of the tajweed points. And one thing about Mahmoud Shahad is that his tajweed is also very good. Okay.
Yes, you're right, brother.
We can't say it's completely perfect. I mean, totally perfect. It's not, because few reciters have perfect tajweed. وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَاهَا الضَّاء. The ضَاد is pronounced from the correct place of articulation, which is the side of the tongue and the upper molar and wisdom teeth of that side.
And we have to consider the characteristic istitala.
Yes, that's very important. The istitala. If you don't apply the istitala, ضَاد will sound different.
Mm-hmm. Just, like, be confused, just like the plosive. It would be pronounced.
No, not even a plosive. Yes, it could be a plosive if you don't...
If you don't apply istitala.
If you don't apply istitala correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it's not a plosive, it's going to sound like a wa. For example, if you say, we need the istitala.
And could you elaborate on that?
The istitala means that the sound is stretched from the very back of the tongue to the tip of the tongue. It's like we have a lengthening of the consonant of bod. So the tip of the tongue is also involved for pronouncing bod. Of course, you should not create an obstruction so that it becomes a plosive. If you say bod,
yes,
that's incorrect.
It's a fricative sound.
Yes, it's fricative. Of course, some reciters, they pronounce it like a stop, like a plosive. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ. Here we have a noon, which is مُشَدَّد. This is a shamsi letter. So we have to apply غُنَّة to the noon for two vowel counts, because the noon is مُشَدَّد. وَاللَّيْلِ. The lam is مُشَدَّد. You should hold the lam a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You should not quickly pass. If you say وَاللَّيْلِ, وَاللَّيْلِ, that's incorrect. وَاللَّيْلِ.
You have to show that there is two lam here.
Lams, and the lam is مُشَدَّد, and the timing of the lam should be observed. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. When he reaches the word السَّمَاءِ, he uses the highest register of his voice to illustrate سَمَاء.
The highness, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. That it's high in the sky. Okay, and he uses the highest register, Jawab al-Jawab, of his voice, which is Maqam Bayati.
And he observes Maddul Muttasil here.
Yeah, it's Maddul Muttasil. Remember, we said that Maddul Muttasil is a great place for doing all kinds of, applying all kinds of voice techniques, such as vibratos. And a lot of reciters, they take advantage of the Maddul Muttasils to show the beauty of their voice.
Yes.
وَالْأَرْضِ We have ضاد at the lowest level. The تفخيم is at the lowest level here mm-hmm. for the ضاد.
Because it has كسرة, the fifth level, I think.
Yes, which is the lowest level of تفخيم. نَفْسٍ وَمَا Here we have إِدْغَام مَعَ الْغُنَّة.
النون ساكنة of تنوين comes to...
Comes to a واو. Mm-hmm. If a reciter of the Quran does not observe the rules of idgham and idgham ma'al ghunnah, he cannot be qualified as a good reciter. Mm-hmm. So that is why we see that most reciters, if not all of them, the famous ones, they observe the rule of idgham ma'al ghunnah, especially mm-hmm. because, you know, the other idghams, the idgham bila ghunnah is not so difficult.
Maybe it's one of the conditions of being famous.
Yes, that's right. Because the reciter who does not have good tajweed is not going to become very famous.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for the rules that are very simple and obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And again, the ghunnas are a good place to show the beauty of the voice, to apply a vibrato and whatnot.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
The ocean of dua.
Al Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam. Ziyaratan minni wa niyabatan an walidai.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyaratu Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyaratu al-Ashura. So stay with us.
فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانْ أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَارِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّتَانْ دَفَعَتْكُمْ عَنْ مَقَامِكُمْ
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were talking about the part of the ziyarah that reads, فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ Therefore, may Allah distance from His mercy the community that laid the foundation of wrongdoing and injustice against you, O the household of the Prophet. In the previous program, we said that the Ahlul Bayt and their thoughts, their speeches, and their actions are the commentary of the Holy Quran, and oppression against them is oppression to the Holy Quran and Islam. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, revealing the unity between religion and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, says, "Hum asasud din wa imadul yaqeen." The Ahlul Bayt are the foundations of religion and pillars of conviction. He continues, "Hum da'aimul Islam wa wala'ijul i'tisam." They are the pillars of Islam. They are the shelters of protection. They are the reins of the truth, the guideposts of religion, the tongues of the truth. And therefore, فَأَنْزِلُوهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَنَازِلِ الْقُرْآنِ. Therefore, place them in the most beautiful stations of the Holy Quran. In this regard, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is also reported to have said, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَسَاسِ وَأَسَاسُ الْإِسْلَامِ حُبُّنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. There is a foundation, an asas for everything, and the foundation of Islam is love for us, the Ahlul Bayt. Also, you may have heard in the well-known Ziyarah al-Jami'ah al-Kabira that we are taught by Imam Ali al-Naqi to address the Ahlul Bayt as Antumus Siratul Aqwa. You are the most upright path. And overall, we have many instances that the Ahlul Bayt, the infallible Imams, are introducing themselves as the straight path. They say, وَاللَّهِ نَحْنُ الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. By Allah, we, the Ahlul Bayt, are the straight path.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right, or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts, no matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now that we have sufficiently discussed the meaning of this part of ziyarah, فَلَعْنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاثُ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ, that may the Almighty Allah distance from His mercy the ones who laid this foundation. The question is, who are the founders of the wrongdoing against the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? Of course, in this regard, those who have read authentic records of Islamic history do not really need to thoroughly search for the founders of wrongdoing and transgression against the Ahlul Bayt. Both the Shia as well as the Sunni sources
clearly mentioned the key founders of wrongdoing and transgression. Now, we prefer not to mention their names here, but if you really want to, you are kindly invited to decipher the identities of the founders of wrongdoing on your own. History gives us the hint that the basis of oppression transpired on a Monday when the right of succession of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was usurped fundamentally by some people. And it was this incident that broke the heart of the daughter of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In response to Salama, who once asked her how she encountered the beginning of the day, she said, "I have encountered the morning in a state between grief and extreme sorrow of losing the Prophet and the oppression to his rightful successor. I swear by Allah, the curtain of succession has been violated." And perhaps to this sorrow was her reference when she cried, "Subbat alayya masa'ibu law annaha subbat ala al-ayyam sirna layaliya." I am afflicted with this affliction with which if days were afflicted, they would turn into nights. Anyway, we will not talk about that more in this program. Yet in the remaining programs, we'll try to discuss and have a look at the fundamental consequences of this foundation of wrongdoing against the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Thank you for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عام لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
لبيك يا حسين
بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of The Lantern. As The Lantern tradition, we have a short little story, very interesting, about elephants. About an elephant. I love elephants, by the way. They're so big and beautiful and majestic, and yet so harmless. I know a lot of people get killed by elephants, but then again, it's sort of not the elephant's fault. It's usually our fault for, you know, expanding our infrastructures and trespassing into elephant territory. That's not the point. The point is, please listen to this short anecdote, and we're going to be right back on The Lantern.
In the name of Allah, Salaamu Alaikum, dear friend. Welcome to this episode of Lantern. As you know, we have an interesting story at the beginning of each episode. The Blind Man and the Elephant is the title of today's story. Let's listen. A long time ago in India, there lived six men who were all blind since birth. One day, they fell to arguing. The object of their dispute was the elephant. Now, since each was blind, none had ever seen that mighty beast. So to satisfy their minds and settle the dispute, they decided to go and seek out an elephant. Having hired a young guide, they set out early one morning in single file along the forest track, each placing his hands on the back of the man in the front. It was not long before they came to a forest clearing where a huge bull elephant was standing contemplating his menu for the day. The six blind men became quite excited. Thus it was that the men took turns